We're holding on the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin, and what we had seen thus far is the Rambam has said that we have to understand what is Olam Haba, what does it mean the world to come, what is Gan Eden, Garden of Eden, what is Tchiyat HaMitim, we said there's going to be a time when the dead will return. What are the different terms that our sages use to discuss what people will get as a reward for what they do in this world, etc. And the Rambam had introduced us to the fact that when our sages speak about things, they very often conceal the deeper meanings of what they have to say and present deep concepts with simple illustrations that people get attached to. And that when we approach what our sages say, we have to understand what's behind the scenes. What do they mean to say? Not just what did they say on the surface. And now the Rambam says, I'll begin to explain what I wanted to, but we saw this already, so I'm going to run through it. It's just because we stopped in the middle of the topic that we're reviewing what we saw. The Rambam said, just as a person who's blind cannot conceive colors, and the person who's deaf cannot conceive sounds, so too the physical bodies cannot perceive what it means spiritual pleasure. And just like a fish, so long as he's alive, he doesn't understand what fire is. He's immersed in the opposite. He's immersed in water, and that's his life. So too, in this physical world, for us to try and understand the spiritual pleasures of a world that isn't ours, a world that's all spiritual, that's to an extent beyond what we can perceive.
But at the end, the fish doesn't feel the fire.
I'm not sure if he feels it. The Rambam says, because what the pleasures that we've encountered, that we know about, are the things that we perceive, the things that we feel, the things that are physical. What we eat, what we drink, the different physical pleasures that abound in this world. And anything other than that is something that we rarely see and we don't recognize and we don't perceive at first glance. But if we delve and try to search into it, then we can understand what it is. And the thing is so, says the Rambam, being that we're in a physical world, and that's what we perceive, and the spiritual pleasures are eternal, they don't end. Therefore, you can't even compare. They're not in the same plane when you discuss physical and spiritual pleasure. It's two different things. The word pleasure, tanuk, is just a borrowed term that applies to both. But really, they're not in the same plane. And the Rambam says, according to the Torah and according to the philosophers, it is not right to say that angels have no pleasure, but rather they have great pleasure. They do benefit from what they perceive of God, and as such they have eternal pleasure, whatever that means. It's not physical, and they don't, and they don't perceive our physical pleasures because they're spiritual. And us too, if a person becomes very, very pure and he reaches that level after death, then he doesn't perceive physical pleasures and he doesn't even want them. But rather, Ella kmo sheyotze ha-melech ha-adir b'malchut sheyakel ma-malchuto v'yachzor sachek b'chadur b'chavot. Would you think that a king who has a great kingdom is going to say, gee, I wish someone else could uproot this kingdom and I could go back to play ball in the streets? That, it's not so. Once a person attains a higher level, he's not interested in what's less. Even though at some point in his life the king for sure preferred playing ball than having the throne when he was younger, when he was more foolish, and then at some point he wanted both, just like today at our level we'd much rather the physical to the spiritual. And if you look at these two things, if a person analyzes them, this is where we left off, then a person will ultimately be able to discern how much one is less than the other. And where we left off 2 weeks ago, we didn't have class last week on Friday, where we left off was that We have to think about it. This isn't something that a person can understand, perceive at first glance. At first glance, what we know is what we've seen until now. What we know is, I like chocolate. I like ice cream. We know what we like in the physical world. That's what we know. And if someone listens to this class, we said 2 weeks ago, and nods his head and says, yeah, sure, I'd much rather the spiritual pleasures, then he's probably lying. It's almost impossible for a person to say that at this point. What we're learning in the Rambam is that we have to analyze, think, and as we grow, perceive that there is something better in this world than at all the physical that we spend most of our lives chasing after. Hopefully we won't spend most of our lives chasing after that, but most of the world does. And even in this world, a person can attain, can understand that there is something better than everything physical that one aspires for. We're holding page Kuf Lamed Ches. This is basically where we left off. The first part, the right hand column, about six lines down. The last word is Ve'im, the last word on the line. Ve'im titbonen, if you analyze Binyan Shneta Nugim Halalu, regarding these two forms of pleasure, physical and spiritual, you'll discern that one is very low in comparison to the other one, that's much higher. Even in this world, one can't perceive that. We find that most people will toil with their soul and their body. People are willing to go to great lengths in order to be considered great. Or that people should honor them. What do you gain when someone honors you? What do you gain when everyone stands up for you? Everyone looks up to you? It's not physical. And people are willing to forego many of their own pleasures. They're willing to forego a lot of benefits just to get revenge. What do you get when you get revenge? You're not eating something, you're not drinking something, yet people are willing to go great lengths in order to get revenge. And many people will abstain from having the greatest physical pleasures because they're worried maybe people will find out, people will know, and they'll be embarrassed. What's physical about embarrassment? Okay, they lasik shem tov. Or people will sometimes abstain from doing different things that they would really like to do and enjoy because they want to have a good name. People should think they're a good person. What do you gain when people think you're a good person? So we do things with the intent of gaining something that isn't physical. We do want things that aren't only physical. And if this is the way we behave in this physical world, certainly in the world to come, in a world where we will be able to perceive our Creator in a fashion that is similar to how the greater species, angels, whatever it is, perceive God, that pleasure, which is, so the Rambam gave us a key into understanding what that pleasure is. What does one gain when he gets revenge? How can you define? Why do people want revenge? Revenge is so sweet. What's so sweet about it? What do people gain when people look up to you? What do you gain when you get honor in this world? What do you gain when you're a person that people think is a good person? So these, the Rambam says, give us a clue as to what a spiritual pleasure is. And something, it's not physical. So the Rambam said,
there's a problem there, because if you is trying to escape respect chastity, so what do you get from that?
I didn't follow.
You have the it says that if you try to get respect, you won't get it. But if you try to avoid respect, you'll find respect. Respect finds you. What do you mean from that?
I didn't follow. I didn't hear the question though.
But if you try to not get respect, you're going to get respect in this week. Is there like a similar?
If you're trying to stay away from respect, then respect will follow you. So, yeah.
Do you gain something at all from that? Like,
I think what Mesilat Yesharim is saying over there is that a person who tries to chase after honor will run away from him. If a person runs away from honor, the honor will follow him. Now, when a person runs away from honor, that doesn't mean that when it follows him, he doesn't have a certain feeling, a good feeling when it follows him. Just means that he's not looking for it. He's running away from it.
So it doesn't affect him as much.
He tries to have it not affect him. There's a difference between a person feeling good with it when he has it and a person chasing after it. Meaning a person can run away from it and nonetheless when he has it feel good with it. No? Daderet wrote a book about attaining great spiritual heights. And he also wrote a biography which they published. One of the interesting things that he writes there is what happened inside of him when he'd walk into the synagogue and people would stand up. We once mentioned the story about a rabbi who had a guest, and the guest was he woke up early in the morning and he sees the rabbi standing by the window saying the pasuk. Don't bring a disgusting thing into your house, which our sages said applies to idol worship. Don't bring disgusting things into your home. And he's standing there next to the window reviewing this verse. Do not bring disgusting things into your home. And the guest is lying there in bed thinking, what did I do wrong? Why is he standing there next to the window saying this? And finally he can't take it anymore, so he gets up and he says, Rabbi, why are you saying that verse? And the rabbi said, because I'm about to go to shul, and when I'm going to get to shul, people are going to honor me, and I have to work on myself every morning not to allow myself to have pride, not to be hoodie. So I remind myself every morning, you're not allowed to bring a disgusting thing into your home, meaning into myself either. I'm not allowed to become proud. So before I go and have to face all the honor, I have to work on myself to remain a good person, to not be proud. But we see it's a constant battle. It is a constant struggle. So the Rambam says that when we start speaking about a spiritual pleasure, then we're speaking about something which cannot be divided, cannot be described, and we can't even find an allegory, a mashal, to describe it. But we have to say like the prophet said, when he was astounded by its force, its might, Marav Tuvcha, how awesome is your good, Asher Tzafanta Lireyecha, that you have hidden for those that fear you, for those that fear you, Pa'alta Lachosim Bach. You've created, you've fashioned this thing for those that take cover in you, God. V'chach Amru Aleim HaShalom, and so to our sages said, Ha'olam Haba, the world to come, En Bo Lo Achila V'lo Shtiyah, there won't be any eating, there won't be any drinking, Lo rechitza, no washing, velo sicha, no anointing, velo tashmish, nor having relations with women. Ela tzadikim yoshvim, but rather the situation in the world to come is that tzadikim are sitting, that rotehem berashehem, their crowns are on their heads, v'nehenim ziv ha-shechina, and they enjoy the ziv of the shechina, whatever that is. Ziv, we could say the aura, but that's not an exact translation. V'achavana, and other Amram is going to break down this Gemara. They're wearing crowns. Kiyum hanefesh bekiyum muskala v'yota hi v'hu davar achad. Okay, this the Rambam starting to explain to us philosophical concepts of what the pleasure in the world to come is going to be, and this is a concept which the Rambam expands on in the laws of tshuva. And then the guide to the perplexed, and over here. And the Rambam says that the pleasure in the world to come begins with a connection. Before we approach the Rambam, let's analyze something. What do you guys enjoy? What does a person enjoy when he's with his friends? What does a person enjoy about when he walks into a room and someone who he likes is sitting there and looks up at him and smiles, welcomes him? People think that in marriage, the focal point is the bedroom. And in truth, what people really want in marriage is that smile. People want, like we quoted many times, sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. I didn't say the continuation of the song, but that part, the only thing I disagree with it is that it says sometimes. I think it's always so. Person always wants that. I told you guys that when I was young, I used to study magic. And part of magic is also fortune telling. So if I wanted to be a charlatan and to sit down and tell you each about your past, present, and future, I could do it. What's the key? The key is that there are certain underlying themes that everyone has. And as you speak to people, you see the variance that that specific person has. One of the things you always begin with is, I feel a certain ember of loneliness in your heart. I feel somewhere over there you're lonely. Now, each person here, if I said that to, would say, gee, you're right. Why? Because this is a common situation that we all have. It's part of the human situation. It's not only our need to be part of a society, but also our need to have friends and to have close contact with people. Well, that need isn't physical. The physical is a way of expressing it. One of the things that mainly Americans have a big issue with is that the American society has introduced the phobia of touch. And everyone really needs touch. When I used to teach, like kids. So one of the things that I did, if a kid was making a lot of noise, you saw he needed attention, as I was teaching the class, I'd walk by and put my hand on his shoulder. And you could see right away the kid would calm down. He got attention without my saying a word to him. But what was interesting is that I said I would see which kids need attention during a test, and I'd go over to look at their papers. And if I went over to 4 out of 5 kids, the 5th kid would ask me to come over too. Because if you see that the teacher's coming and putting his hand on the shoulder to 4 of the other kids, then he instinctively wanted it too. So one kid I walked over, and I didn't put my hand on his shoulder. And without thinking, he took my hand and put it on his shoulder. I was thinking, okay. I was doing it consciously, because I was doing it like educationally. What do these kids need? But I didn't think he needed it. But after I had done it to other kids, he felt like, hey, why am I different? We all need that. We need it in a normal way. And mainly, well, I see it in Americans. I think Europeans don't have this phobia. But Americans, I've noticed, have developed a phobia that two men can't embrace, two men can't touch, and it's a problem because really people need it. So when I say that the bedroom isn't the focus of marriage, what I mean is that that's an expression of something, and when it's an expression of a connection, then it has a lot of meaning. the one thing that everyone needs is to feel connected. Everyone that's normal. When a person doesn't have that, then he's got serious psychological problems. And that connection can be to friends, that connection could be to parents, to family, to society. And what the Rambam is developing is that in the world to come, we will recognize that part of the reason we're so lonely and we want to connect is really our neshama wants to connect to Hashem. And that connection is the most satiating connection there can be. If you think about it, I hope that everyone here has experienced at least once in their lifetime a prayer where they connected, where they felt like they were talking to Hashem. And if you think about that one time, think if you haven't experienced it yet, then the next time you have something really difficult in your life and you find yourself crying, instead of just weeping on the bed, try taking out a tehillim, or even without a tehillim, talking to Hashem. And then a person starts experiencing that connection. In davening, a person, that's one of the places where a person can experience it. From here, in Yitzchem, we will continue next week. But this is what the Rambam is saying, that the greatest pleasure is in the world to come, connecting with Hashem. So we read that and we don't really understand it. But if we start thinking about what are our pleasures in this world, what are the pleasures that are really worthwhile, we'll recognize that those pleasures are really when we connect with other people, when we feel like we connect. And if I could go on a tangent just for a second, at this point we're going to stop now and pick up here, God willing, next week. But once we've brought up this topic, so I want to mention something that people should think about. Connecting with people is fundamental. It's fundamental to our spiritual, emotional health. Sometimes people don't connect in a healthy way. Society has taught us that it is okay to make fun, to be sarcastic, to make snide comments and remarks, and people smile when we do that. When that is the way that a person connects with society, a person has to recognize that there's something wrong. A person can undo it. A person can break that habit. But a person has to recognize there's something wrong. And if a person does not deal with it, then it grows. I'm mentioning this because I see it very often. It's very common today that people develop this way of connecting with other people. Because initially, it seems like the guy's the fun guy in the crowd. He's always making the comment that everyone laughs about. But deep down, really, he's not connecting. He's connecting by not connecting. By making fun, so everyone seems appreciates him, everyone laughs at what he said, but he's not really connecting. And when people don't stop themselves and say, hey, wait a second, where's this headed? So usually, it ends up at least in a psychiatrist's office, at least. And at worst, it ends up in other places. So this is something I just, once we mention this topic, I want to mention because parents very often don't notice this. I had many times told parents, your son is not, he's not doing well in society, and I don't care that his friends like him and everything. You have to help him, because if not, that's where it's going to end up. And usually the parents couldn't see what I was talking about. They didn't see it, and usually that's where the kid ended up, unfortunately. So you guys, God willing, will all be parents, and for yourselves, both, be aware of it. A healthy connection is not one that makes fun. Healthy connection is one that can laugh with other people, laugh at himself, laugh at other things, but not that the sole connection is through sarcasm, cynicism. That's not healthy. And Hashem, we're going to pick up here with the Rambam next week. Okay,